You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions on the show are always expressed with a certain joie de vivre. Please consult a doctor before listening, as laughter can be infectious. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your top-down, wind-in-your-hair, Saturday morning automotive thrill ride. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, but right now, love us on Zoomer Radio.
It's sundown weather. Top down weather.
Top down weather.
Yeah.
With the wind not in our hair because, you know, our hairlines.
Well, I don't have a convertible.
Yeah, well, sometimes I have a convertible. A couple weeks ago I did, and it was lovely.
Yes. It's great. You know, we don't get that opportunity all that often. But, oh, it's funny. Years ago I did have one, but the car had no air conditioning.
Okay.
And I thought you'd put the top down, but then it would be worse. So I said, I don't get the deal here, you know. But then it was weird, you know, because you said, hang on. So people are driving it with the top down and the air on?
I, you know what? It was so hot a couple of weeks ago when I was driving. It was really hot. And I not only did I drive it with the air conditioning on, but I also had the ventilated seats on.
Well, you know, it's funny. We talk about normally having battery issues on vehicles, you know, when it's deadly cold outside. But we're going to find out from our friends at CEA that there's also a problem when the cars are hot.
Absolutely. Heat, you know, across all automotive systems, heat is one of the big enemies.
Actually, and I was reading, too, which kind of surprised me, on EVs,
mm-hmm.
because we know that if you have an EV in Canada in the wintertime, you're going to lose at least 25%.
At least.
Yes.
Yep.
But apparently they're losing that same amount when it's real hot out.
Absolutely. So the battery packs have an optimal temperature range. So not only do they have to keep them in that range in the winter, so they've got to heat them, but in the summer they got to keep them cool.
You know, it's so complicated. You know, I'm a mechanic, but I didn't take any electrical courses yet. But talk about battery temperature and having to warm it up before you charge it, and I'm going, wow, this is still pretty complicated.
The EVs are very, very complicated, Al. It's going to be interesting when a lot of these cars have to be repaired and those systems have to be repaired. Brakes and tires are one thing.
Yes.
But imagine repairing electrical, like, battery-related systems.
And apparently, as much as there were people who were hot for these cars and lined up, it's slowing down. And one of the major manufacturers has had to reduce prices. Well, two actually have to reduce their prices.
Absolutely. And, EV inventories are going up across the board, which I'm sure we'll talk about during the show. And also joining us in a little bit is Maureen Harquail from OMVIC.
Yes, I saw on Facebook last week there was these warning. These fellows up in Barrie decided that they were going to have their own personal auction, and it was not regulated.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Isn't that interesting, Al? Who knew you can't have a car auction?
Well, I have cars. Need to sell.
In your backyard. Hey, I found this car in a container. What do you think?
Well, they seem to be finding them every week.
Exactly.
Containers and cars. Well,
I think I read about another car theft ring that was broken up in the last week.
Oh, and in fact, I heard yesterday there was a truck ring that was broken.
Yes. I heard that, too.
Yeah. I saw that neighborhood thing, you know, which is, I find, a bit of a pain. You know, everybody complaining about their dogs pooping and stuff, you know. It's like, who cares? Come on, give me a break.
I don't have that app. My wife has it, and she tells me about the absurdities on it.
There's strangers knocking at my door. I don't know what to do. You know?
Yeah, well,
don't answer the door.
That's
it's really
pretty easy.
Yeah. Or people will drop somebody else's poo in their organic bin. I mean, it's just really crazy.
Oh,
like, get a life.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, speaking of satisfaction, apparently, you know, these cars have new toys and can do tons of things, but if they're not working like they should, or if you don't really want them, people aren't terribly satisfied with that.
I think people are pushing back a little bit.
Exactly. All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We got lots of preventative maintenance tips. We got lots of information and a few laughs, too. So stick around. Me and Brian will be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in the studio with Alan Gelman, and it is a lovely day.
It is.
Great driving day this morning. Had fun on the way down.
And so everything worked?
Yeah, everything worked. So I was driving it's probably my favorite car I've driven this year, the Honda Civic Type R.
I thought you were talking about the SL.
No, that was a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
So I've already forgotten about that one. The Type R is lovely, lovely car. A little extreme for most people, but had a great time. And
extreme is what? Mean uncomfortable or funky looking?
A lot of people would find it uncomfortable. Very deep bucket seats.
Right.
Lowered, stiffened suspension, lots of power, makes a little bit of a noise. And has a big wing on the back, so it looks like I'm a child. But that's another story for another day. And what I like about Hondas, even though this is a 2023 model, the infotainment system is very simple, very straightforward. Climate control, very simple, very straightforward. Easy to use, no problems.
Well, you know, and getting back to people with satisfaction and dropping, I mean, the old talk in the industry was the more toys you got in the car, the more things there are to break.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So what's happening now with a lot of manufacturers, and it's across the range, from Ford to Mercedes, like this Mercedes SL I was driving a couple of weeks ago, they put everything into the one central screen.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everything is controlled through this big screen. And so you can imagine, as a mechanic, how problematic that is.
Well, right, especially if the screen goes black, what do we do?
That's it. What do you, you know,
I want to check for codes. I want to get some data. I can't.
No,
yeah.
No. And you know, everything is in there. The climate controls are in there. Navigation, of course, radio, all your media controls. But in this case, the switch for the roof, because it's a convertible,
right,
is built into that screen as well. It's not a physical switch like the door, the window switches, but it's built into that screen. And it's incredibly annoying. I just want to get in a convertible, hit a button, and have that roof drop. That's all I want it to do.
No, same thing. Like, you know, and as far as your heater controls or as far as, you know, radio, like we had this this really nice generic lady. Old. I can't say. What's the word? Anyway, really old lady.
Really old.
Lovely lady, though. I mean, I really liked her. But she came in quite a few times. She said, you know, you're going to think I'm stupid. I said, no, I don't think you're stupid. You're right. It's complicated. And because actually it was a Honda, they took out the volume control.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's back now.
Yes.
Yes. So they actually listened to the customers. A few years ago, they took out the volume knob. I can't remember what year that was. I'm going to say 2015, 2016 on a lot of the models.
Right.
And it took 3 or 4 years, and they're all back now.
Well, same thing with the heater fan, you know, or temperature control.
That's right.
In fact, I saw some tests last past winter. They did a whole bunch of cars. I think it was in Sweden, and they were giving the drivers, we need you to do this. Here's a couple of functions we need you to perform, and they timed people on how long it took them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were supposed to be driving, obviously, at the same time. And it went anywhere from 30 seconds to 3 minutes, you know, to perform the same function. You're going, yeah, you're supposed to be concentrating on the road.
Exactly. You know, nothing works properly like a good volume knob.
No, exactly. And you know, people are not happy. And then they've done a study. J.D. Power did it. Jill McIntosh was reporting from driving.ca. And apparently some of these companies have failed now or are dropping in their success over these things for 2 years already. And they're saying that's a bad sign. It's like, I mean, because in the past, if someone said, hey, you're having an issue, well, they'd get the engineers on it and try to fix it right away. But either it's not that easy or they haven't responded.
Well, I think, you know, what's happening is a lot of manufacturers have this, they want to put these big iPads in the dashboards.
Right.
And even if they're not that big, they're still all touch screens and they force a lot of functions into those screens. And they're not as easy to navigate as an iPad, for example.
Right.
So, you know, Apple has the resources to develop, you know, phones and iPads with great interfaces.
Mm-hmm.
Car companies have a lot fewer resources than a company like Apple does to develop a great interface.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're left with. I think what this is, with less satisfaction across the board, across all automakers, it's a reaction to these kind of systems. Because, like I said earlier, nothing works so well as a simple volume knob.
Right.
And when you throw all of these functions into a touchscreen and the interface is not... It's not logical. It causes problems for people.
Right. You know, it's like assembling IKEA furniture. You know, by the time you get the last piece done, you figure out what their system is and what these things, these symbols mean, you know.
Yes.
But I'm the same way. I mean, because I have a Samsung phone, And if somebody gets me their iPhone, I go, oh, how does this work? You know? And as easy as it is, I mean, until you adapt to their way of thinking, you don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
And
right.
The car's here, and so same thing with the car now.
And, you know, this is the thing. You're supposed to be paying attention to driving. And if you're fooling around with these menus and submenus on your touch screen, you're not paying attention to driving.
Right. And that takes away from the time that you're spending on your phone at the same time. You know?
That's true.
I watched the guy today. It really blows me away. And that's the one thing about being in a vehicle that's a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's crawling down the passing lane down the parkway, and the phone is like right here.
Yes.
He wasn't trying to hide it.
No.
And I went, put the phone down. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yesterday or the day before, around the corner from my house, I saw a guy accelerating, notably accelerating.
Yeah,
here. And he's got the phone in front of his face. I'm like, this is bad news.
Well, I guess he had Google Maps or Waze on.
It was telling him to go faster.
Know which way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing. It took me a while to realize that. But when I use Waze, there's a little light that'll flash. And I'm going, what's that thing flashing? Oh, you're speeding. That's why it's flashing.
Yes.
Hello, it's only a 50-kilometer zone, and you're going 60. So you better slow down. So speaking of slowing down, we're going to have to take a break. I hear the music playing in the background. And Brian and I will be back with some great more news and jokes and fun and stuff. Tips. That's it. We'll be back with tips. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Ellen Gelman, and we're just having a great day on this Saturday.
Exactly. It's beautiful outside. And, you know, something we don't normally hear in a car business or any kind of thing when you're going shopping is that prices are coming down.
Yeah. And surprise, surprise, the market is speaking and people aren't buying EVs as they've predicted.
And they've got inventory. Apparently, Ford has Lightnings on the lot. They've Mach-Es.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the Mach-E. You really liked it.
I don't like the high performance one. They call it the GT or whatever.
I actually
don't like that one. I like the middle of the road, and it's a wonderful all around EV.
Now, but, yeah. Okay. So, what's that worth?
$60,000.
Okay.
And the equivalent gasoline powered crossover is probably $45,000.
Okay, so it does take time to pay that money off. And we were talking about pickup trucks, as a matter of fact. And the Lightning, which you tested a while back, which is basically an F-150, except it's electric.
Yeah, pretty much. It's the F-150 Lightning is very much an F-150, except that it's got a massive battery and two electric motors.
And cost-wise is comparable, what, 30 to 40% more?
It's about, if I remember correctly, $30,000 or $35,000 more than the comparable gasoline-powered F-150.
Right, because all these vehicles practically double in price from one model to the next by the time you add stuff on.
Exactly. I think the one I drove was $108,000 or $109,000. Imagine that.
Well, considering that your entry price was about $45,000, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. But it's a big price to pay. And, you know, if you run the numbers, it takes several years for you to break even by buying an EV today versus a gasoline-powered F-150.
Well, and again, I mean, if you're in business where you need trucks to go on service calls or deliveries or stuff like that, you know, I guess, so first of all, you need drivers that aren't going to beat the heck out of them.
Well, there's that.
That's a problem.
Yes.
Makes the difference whether it's gas or electric. You know, the repair costs, I mean, are stupid. That's what I hated, you know, being in the commercial business in the repair shop, because you know, as soon as the driver basically didn't think that the owner of the vehicle cared anymore, he would just abuse it even worse. You know,
sure.
And the next thing you know, you're in a war. It's like, why is my truck in the shop all the time? I said, well, because your driver's an idiot. You know,
you know those things called curbs. He treats it like a road.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Road rash. But the prices. So you're saying that the commercial market, the accountants working for these guys are saying, hang on, if I'm to get this electric vehicle, it's going to take that many more years to pay it off?
Yeah, that's you know, I've run the numbers several times. Anytime I test an EV where there's a comparable internal combustion engine vehicle, I run the numbers, and you know, for small vehicles, it takes 6-7 years for the F-150 in comparable trims. Between a gasoline powered and the Lightning, it was like 8 years. And you know, the thing is, that's dependent on today's charging rates.
Right.
So if electricity rates go up, your ROI is going to be, you know, blown out of the water. It's going to take, you know, a dozen years for you to break even.
Okay, so people were hot for them at the beginning. I mean, performance is great. The cost of recharge was, well, again, if the numbers stay the same, are relatively good. But all those people now have got their cars ready.
Yes. All those early adopters have their cars. Whatever it is, you know, whatever they want to drive that's an EV, they have them.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening across the board in North America, that's this side of the border and the other side of the border, people aren't buying EVs like manufacturers have predicted.
But they make electrical vehicles themselves because they figured the market wanted it, or because, you know, the EPA sort of said you got to make a clean car.
It's a bit of both.
Right.
I mean, the EPA hasn't forced that, but several jurisdictions across North America have said that we're done with internal combustion engine cars by 2030 or 2035, whatever it is. That'll never happen.
Yeah,
it will absolutely never happen. That there's not enough raw materials to satisfy battery production for that sort of thing. So that will never happen. But what's happening with all the cars sitting on the lots? It's even happening with Tesla, which mm-hmm. is obviously a very popular EV brand. They've had to lower their prices to keep their cars moving off the lots.
Well, right. The whole idea is that you want to ramp up production to make it more cost effective.
That's right.
So, but you've got to move those cars. There's no point in building cars you can't sell, right?
That's right. So Ford says that, you know, the F-150 Lightning is moving.
Mm-hmm.
So they've upped production significantly. And they said as a result, they've been able to drop prices.
Right, but I also heard something on the radio yesterday that talked about they're still losing thousands of dollars per vehicle.
I'm certain of that.
Yeah,
I'm certain of that.
Why, you know, so I don't get it. I mean, they figure, in the end, I mean, they must have looked at a big picture to say that it's going to be cost effective. We will make a profit. I mean, that's why they're there.
Yeah, you know, that's the idea. But I mean, they still haven't solved that problem. And Tesla doesn't make money on the sales of its cars. It makes money through carbon offsets and all of that stuff.
Right. And apparently your data.
And your data. That's the thing with all of these EVs.
Uh-huh.
You're sharing all your driving data with that company, who is in turn selling it to third parties.
Wow, it's amazing how they come up with different ways to make a profit.
Yes, and you know that's also one of the things. Like GM announced a little while ago that mm-hmm. they are controlling the infotainment system, so they're dumping Apple CarPlay and Android Auto for their own proprietary system because they want to control the in-car data.
Okay, but your phone will link to it just the same.
Just Bluetooth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they don't want the Apple interface or the Android interface in their car. They've got their own proprietary interface starting next year, and you that's the only way you can connect your phone, just Bluetooth.
Wow. What if you got a rotary phone?
Good luck. Good luck. You're calling from home, I think.
All right. If you think you're going to get a new or used, well, here, if you're thinking about getting a used car, we got some amazing tips for you to tell you how you got to be very careful. You don't want to get the wrong one. It could be a hot car, but not in a good way.
The bad kind of hot.
Exactly. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be back with Maureen from Omvic right after this break.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman, and joining us online is Maureen Harquayle from Omvic. Maureen, how are you?
Good morning. Great to be on your show.
Thanks for joining us.
I saw last week there was a warning on Facebook, and I guess it was generated by you guys, was it not?
It was. Actually, we had some information that there was a group that was selling vehicles or was proposing to sell vehicles, and they weren't registered with Omvic. So that's certainly a concern for us, and that's why we let the public know.
Exactly, and the whole point being that if you buy from an unregistered dealer, you're on your own if the deal goes south, right?
Absolutely. And you know, in the motor vehicle sales industry, we call those people who are selling illegally, we call them curbsiders. And they're a problem out there because, of course, they're posing as private sellers and they're pretending to sell a personal motor vehicle. But really, they're in the business of buying and selling vehicles for profit without a license or a registration from Omvic. And that's illegal in Ontario.
Right, and if you buy from them, you get zero protection. What kind of protection do you get if you're buying from a legitimate dealer?
Well, listen, I think that one of the big things is that if something goes wrong with the transaction, and you've dealt with an OMBIC registered dealer, we have the Motor Vehicle Dealers Compensation Fund that if something really goes wrong, a consumer can make a claim to our compensation fund. So that's one of the big ones. I think the other thing is if you're dealing with a registered OMBIC dealer, there's other legal protections. For example, there's an expectation that those dealers will act appropriately. They'll follow our code of conduct. They'll make disclosures, which are mandatory in the contract, and that they'll really be accountable. They'll be in compliance, and they'll act with respect and professionalism.
All right. Now, if you're worried about buying from a curbsider where you don't want to, what's a good sign, or how would you find out or realize that these people are illegitimate?
Well, the first thing is to identify an OMVIC registered dealer is to look for the blue and yellow decal that's on dealership doors and windows. If you don't see it, so don't see the decal, ask to see their registration, or you can go online at our website at omvic.ca to really search for that dealer or that salesperson. So that's your first thing to do is, are they an OMVIC registered dealer, and find that out.
And each individual salesperson is supposed to carry their own license with them, correct?
Absolutely. And if a consumer asks to see it, that salesperson and the dealer need to provide that and to show it.
Okay.
Now, Maureen, if you're looking at a used car and you got some kind of inkling that something's not right, how do you navigate the purchase of this car, or at least look for some signs that somebody is acting as a dealer but posing as a private seller?
Yeah, there's some warning signs, and I'll share a few of them with you this morning. First of all, one of the things you should always do is ask the seller for identification and proof of ownership. If the vehicle isn't registered in the seller's name, or it's been registered for a really short period of time, that's a red flag. Another one is of course, be wary if a seller is refusing an inspection. So that's a big one. If that seller's isn't comfortable with you getting an inspection, there's probably something being hidden there. The other one is we would highly recommend that consumers purchase a used vehicle information package. It's called a UVIP, and you get that from the Ministry of Transportation. Another one is really to check the vehicle's odometer and whether it's been tampered with. You really need to look for excessive wear and tear on the interior and the exterior of the vehicle. And look at the kilometers, and if the vehicle kilometers are really low and yet the vehicle looks off, you know, that's kind of telling you maybe there's been something done to that odometer. The other thing to know is, and to keep an eye out for is whether the seller has more than one vehicle for sale. If they're, of course, whether they're operating out of an automotive-related business, such as a repair shop or a gas station, they're probably not selling their own vehicle. So those are, again, some things to keep in mind. And, of course, the last one is really, if the price is really, really low, it's probably too good to be true. You should be suspicious.
Well, you know, with all these busts that's going on, the car thefts are crazy right now. I guess that's also a concern. How do people know? And what happens if they do buy a stolen car?
Well, listen, and that's a problem. Of course, we're all seeing those news stories, and purchasing a stolen vehicle again can be perilous for consumers. Again, we recommend that people deal with an OMVIC registered dealer, because you will have those protections that you need, even if you buy a stolen vehicle. So I think there's things to be wary about, but you can really lessen your risk by buying from an OMVIC registered dealer.
So you can find out by asking them for their license. You can find out, you can call OMVIC. Now, OMVIC has a great website, and there's other great tips there as well, is there not?
Yeah, absolutely. And, even when people are just starting on their car buying process, we're strongly recommending that they come to our website, call us, get some information before you even walk into the dealership or before you even start that car buying process. Because for us, we're a consumer protection organization. We want to empower consumers to have all the information that they need so that they can make a smart, safe purchase.
Exactly. Way easier to find out beforehand whether to figure it out after you got burned, eh?
Agreed. I mean, OMVIC is there to help when things go sideways. But we would rather avoid that and give people the tools they need before they even start that process.
And Maureen, what I found very interesting is, you know, we hear about curbsiders in the news and we're talking about it here in this segment, but it's actually a major problem. It's about half the charges that OMVIC laid last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we laid over 2,000 charges last year, and over 1,000 of those were made against curbsiders. And that's double the number that we charged in 2021. It's a big concern. And obviously, we've had supply issues. All of that really, you know, generates more of this, of people trying to get a deal. And there's people out there who are prepared to try to, I guess, hurt unsuspecting consumers.
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, you go by a dealership and you don't see any cars in there a lot. You know, you want to buy a car, but they don't have anything to sell you. So now you're going to go to these, you know, other people or other areas that they're being advertised, you know, to find something. I mean, I need a car. But I've heard so many excuses over the years as a repair facility, you know, where I always tell people as well, bring the car in, let's do what we call a pre-purchase inspection. And I'll call them back, or they'll call me back and say, listen, I was going to bring it by, but they said they don't have insurance. And do you have a dealer plate? And can you come and look at it at my premises? And I always explain to them, these are all excuses for not getting it done, and they do have something to hide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, as I mentioned, you know, that's one of the big ones to be on the alert for. If someone is refusing to let you take that car for an inspection, you know, the warning lights should be going off.
Now, a question too. You said to check the odometer, but I know that in the old days, they physically had to take the dashboard out and there would be fingerprints or scratches. But now it's even easier. In fact, I found a device that you could adjust the odometers on the internet for relatively cheap. How do people back that up or find out that information?
Yeah, again, you know, if you're dealing with an OMVIC registered dealer, you know, you'll be provided with a Carfax report, which will show the history of that odometer. For example, when the vehicle went in for servicing, the odometer number will be identified. So you'll see the history of that vehicle. And that's the problem. Again, if you're not dealing with an OMVIC registered dealer, you won't have access to that, or you won't be provided that by the seller. Again, it's also about looking for excessive wear on the interior and the exterior of the vehicle.
Right.
If it doesn't match up, then something's wrong. Again, the warning lights should be going off.
No, and especially with COVID and people keeping cars forever, you know, I mean,
there's
a big difference between 100,000 and 300,000 kilometers. Just, you know, you get in the car and you drive it, it's like, yeah, there's something odd here.
You can tell. And a great telltale sign is pedal wear.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Now, people want to find out more information. How do they find it?
Yeah, so listen, the first thing is, of course, go to our website at omvic.on.ca. We're there to provide information, and we look forward to hearing from the people of Ontario before they start their car buying process.
Exactly. And don't forget, there's no cooling off period. It's funny
Absolutely.
How people think there is.
Yeah, in Ontario, once you sign that that agreement to purchase that vehicle, the deal is final, and dealers have no obligation to walk it back.
Yeah, I was quite surprised. I remember Dave talking about it years ago because he was a dealer as well. And, you know, someone would make a deal and leave a deposit and then take that deal and go to another dealer to see if they can get a better price and then want to come back to dealer number one and get their money back. Uh-uh, doesn't work that way.
That's the law in Ontario.
That is fantastic. You can't quite do that just yet. Maybe on EVs, but with Al was saying, this car that I'm driving today, you can't even buy one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, Maureen, thank you very much for joining us, and we do hope that our listeners take care in their automotive purchases.
Yes, do your homework before so you don't get caught later, because it's way easier to prevent it rather than to cure it. Maureen, thank you very much. Keep up the good work at OMVIC.
Thanks again. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. All right. After the break, we're going to talk about batteries. CEA's got a summer battery program, a bit of a discount. And you're kind of wondering, check them in the summer? I thought we just had to do it in the winter.
It's summer too, Al.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman. And joining us on the line is Nadia Matos from CAA. Nadia, how are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Okay, we're going to play a game here. I need you to tell me what this is. Rrr, Go ahead.
That is your battery on its last legs. It's not doing well. It is a sick battery, and it needs to be replaced.
Yes, and what you don't want to do is ask somebody if they have a set of booster cables, but not the knowledge of how to use them.
Exactly. You know, all those electronics that these vehicles have and stuff like that, if you don't know how to use them, that can really play havoc.
Right. And the great thing about CAA's roadside assistance is within a very short period of time, they're going to be there to give you a hand.
Well, when all else fails, you know, we advocate on prevention. You know, what can you do so that your battery doesn't leave you in the lurch on the side of the highway? But when all else fails, CAA Mobile Battery Service is there for you. So an expert technician will test, replace, recycle your old car battery. So if you find yourself on the side of the road, you can call CAA and they will, come and replace your battery.
Mm-hmm. And that's part of the whole process. You don't have to worry about anything. If you're a CAA member, that technician will and can replace a dead battery for you right there, and you don't have to worry about getting your hands dirty or getting rid of the battery or anything like that.
And you know, oftentimes people will call us because their battery has died once and then maybe twice.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that after that one time, if your battery has died and you're not super at fault, like maybe you left your lights on all at night or something like that, you know that it's time for a new battery. And I think that the majority of people don't realize that the car battery lifespan is only about 3 to 5 years. And that shortens significantly when you've got those, extreme fluctuations of heat in the summer and in the winter months, and all those new electronic devices that we're plugging into your vehicle. So that's going to even shorten the lifespan of a battery even more.
Exactly. Also, the fact that they've downsized the batteries in the older cars, you know, they used to be big honking, like half the size of your engine compartment, and now they're so small. And they've got different kinds of batteries as well. And the unfortunate part is that the prices have skyrocketed too, eh?
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with the different prices of batteries because, mm-hmm. That's just not my, that's not what I'm, into or whatever. You know, I am like a consumer. I need a battery in the moment and I need to know, in the moment how much it costs. But definitely I think what we're seeing at CAA is that, batteries fail in the summertime, not just the wintertime. And I don't think people realize that a battery can lose about 33% of its charge faster in those extreme heats compared to in the wintertime.
Well, sure. I mean, we're so used to the olden days when a battery only cost $79 at the local tire store. But you're used to seeing those hoods open and people with cables in the wintertime. But now we're seeing it in the summertime as well.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that you can do to perhaps prevent that is to, check for those signs of corrosion.
Mm-hmm.
Start the engine battery if you're not using your car all that much. We know that people are working from home, maybe not taking longer trips as much. Start that engine periodically. Get your mechanic if you're not familiar with how you do it, like myself. I don't know how to check an engine cooling system, but mm-hmm. my mechanic sure does. The experts sure do. And so get your mechanic to check the engine cooling system and really focus on making sure that your battery is in good health during the summer months and the winter months.
No question. So I am a CAA member, and I know my battery is maybe 2-3 years old, and I'm concerned. Do I have to wait for it to die, or can I call you guys just to come out and check it?
You can come out to come and check it there. So it just depends on, how busy we are that day and all that kind of stuff and availability of a battery. But you can definitely come and call us to check it if you have concerns. I mean, if you have no concerns that your battery is not functioning, but the moment you hear that clicking, that grinding sound, your headlights flash on and off, those are all signs that your battery is not working. And so that's important signs to kind of look out for. And when you start seeing those things, your battery may not even fail, but when you start to see those things, that's a great time to call CAA.
Exactly. I pushed the button and I just hear a noise and I'm not sure what it was. I kept trying it. Then eventually it went.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what people say. But there are so many early warning signs to your battery that's on its last legs.
Yeah, and I think, too, if you can fully charge your battery as you go from destination to destination, and what I mean by that is that, you know, a lot of people are working from home, they're not driving as much, they're going to, you know, pick up some groceries that may only be like a kilometer away, a couple kilometers away, a couple minutes away. And so every once in a while, it's important that you just don't stick to those short car trips so that your battery can fully recharge. But really try to go for those longer trips if possible, just to keep that battery fully charged and functioning.
Yeah, people don't realize, you know, when they get boosted, they think that the battery is fixed. And I have to explain to them that, no, it just got you started. Your battery is still flat, right? And, I mean, if it's a good battery and you take it for a drive for an hour, it'll come back, you know, to a certain percentage. But don't just think that you're going to drive to the corner and back or once around the block and shut it off, because your car will still be dead.
Yeah, and every time I have had to call CAA for battery service myself, they ask me, where is your drive home? Like the odd times that my battery has died, whether it be in the winter or the summer months. And they're and I said, well, I'm like 30 minutes away, or I'm 20 minutes away. And they say, good, make sure that you drive it for at least 30 minutes to make sure that the battery is fully charged. If longer, that's great as well. But really, that advice, too, is super critical to making sure that your battery isn't flat and that you're avoiding a dead battery when you get to your location.
Now, and if you're not driving, let's say you're somebody who's working from home now, where your whole, you know, how you do your driving has changed considerably and the car is sitting more than it's been driven, people eventually will sometimes best to put on a tender or a battery charger.
Yeah, I mean, if you are just doing those smaller trips and you're not driving those longer distances, it is to get a battery tender, best to get a battery tender. And again, if you don't know how to use a battery tender, then our advice is to go when you're getting your oil changed or, you know, things done at the mechanic to say, like, here's the situation. I'm working from home and I'm thinking about installing a battery tender. Can you recommend a device? Or can you show me how to do that? And they'll walk you through the process of doing that.
Yeah, not difficult at all. I mean, I've installed a few for people who have a hobby car and they don't drive it.
Yeah,
right?
That's the thing. A lot of collector car owners will do it. And, you know, if a dumb racing driver like me can figure out how to do it, I think a lot of people can figure out how to do it on their own as well.
Now, Maureen, and if they want a battery, you got a sale going on right now.
Well, you know, CA members can save 25% on a purchase of a new CA premium battery. So always important that if you do find that your battery is not, you know, doing very well, we are here to help you with the CA's mobile battery service.
And you get 25% off.
$25 off the purchase.
Okay. Well,
which is still pretty significant because, you know, batteries aren't cheap.
Correct. And, you know, when all things ladding, you know, they just kind of ladder up and, you know, you got a battery, you've got your fuel, you know, charges, you've got your car maintenance, every little bit helps.
Oh, you know what? I want to give another tip, too, for people who thought, you know, maybe want to take your advice and check their battery out. You know, I listened to that lady on the radio and I was guys, and they said it's really easy. And sure enough, you pop the hood, you see the green stuff on the post and you want to clean it up. Guys, be very careful. It's very corrosive.
Yes. Leave it to the professionals.
My first job at a gas station, I got acid all over my shoes. And I didn't know. And the next day, I had no shoes. So, yes, be very careful.
Use gloves if possible. Yeah, use gloves if possible. And if you don't know what you're doing, don't touch it.
There you go. Call your the CAA or
call
go
CAA.
By one of their recommended garages, too. They've got a list of shops that will treat you right. Maureen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman, and I'm going to enjoy some driving today.
Oh, which car? Oh, you got the Honda?
Still that Honda Civic Type R, but it's worth every moment behind the wheel. Lovely car.
Don't go too fast, though.
No, never. No, don't break any laws. Absolutely not.
Exactly, because speeding tickets are very expensive.
Yes, take it to the track.
Yeah, you know, did you drive by to any roadside cameras?
They're all over the city. But, you know, I got to say, You know, you gotta love the spirit of the people. I'd say about half of them that I drive by have been vandalized.
Yeah. I had to laugh because I know that one that I pass on Dufferin Street, obviously somebody with a spray can of paint that, you know, has sprayed right over the glass.
Yes.
And then you see it cleaned up, and then you see it done again. And then finally somebody got really crazy and knocked one over, I guess.
Sure.
But why don't they mount them up a little higher?
That's a good question. Well, I think that's just going to cost more money. But I think I don't know exactly what the plan is, but I see them more and more. I drive a lot, and I drive a lot on the same roads, and I'm seeing them more and more. So there's clearly a very aggressive campaign in the city, at least, to install these.
Well, they make money at it. Make huge money.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I wonder, do people just lie down, or they say, I want a court date, you know?
Well, that depends. So I think I have two at the moment, and I've filed them with the court system just to see what happens. So they weren't big tickets, and on top of that, both of them were on roads where the natural speed of traffic is much higher. The speed limits are artificially low. Yes, I understand it's the law, but when you're on a three-lane road, mm-hmm. that, you know, where there's no traffic and the flow of traffic should be 80, and the speed limit's 40. It's a bit silly, but, you know, I think I got busted doing 10 kilometers over the speed limit on a wide three-lane road with one of these cameras.
One of my kids actually failed her G license, the final one, because she was going too slow. But she was actually going the posted speed.
Right.
And the examiner said, oh, no, you have to keep up with traffic.
Right. No.
So
yes, no kidding. Well, that's a story for another day. We'll see how those tickets turn out.
I guess the other concern too is that, you know, if you take the same road repeatedly and you don't know that you've got a ticket coming,
yes,
you could end up with three or four before you finally get them in a snail mail.
Probably you get a bunch of them in the mail. It's a surprise.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yes.
Anyways, we want to thank our guests. We had Natty Mattis, who's just on with us from CAA. They've got a $25 off discount. If there's any concern that your car's battery is not working well, you know, get it checked out and replaced before you get stuck.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, even though we think about replacing the battery in the winter, heat is the enemy of cars. So surprise batteries fail in the summer.
Right. And, you know, when you're supposed to get to that wedding and you're standing in your good suit and your wife's there. And
your
going,
tuxedo.
Remember last week I told you to cart? Honey, I thought it was fine. Well, you're wrong. Okay.
That's right.
And now we're stuck. And either we have to get an Uber or do something.
That's bad news.
Yeah. So if you're a CAA member, by all means, give them a shout. And they'll love to come hook you up and sell your battery, put one in right away. And again, if you think you're going to service it yourself, I'm going to clean all that crap off there. Be very careful. It's corrosive. It's acid. And it will ruin your clothes and ruin your day. Trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if the wife says, I told you. All right. And also, if you're in the market for a used car, you want to thank Maureen, too, because, you know, there's so many bad people out there selling vehicles, eh?
Well, there's a lot. I didn't know it was that. You know, we hear about it in the news, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. I didn't realize that it's a major problem for OnVic. So if you're looking for a used car, make sure you do your research. Go to OnVic's website, and you can find out whether the person you're buying from is a legitimate dealer. And if they're not, there are lots of warning signs.
Right. I mean, you know, I remember having a fight with a guy years ago who wanted me to do something, and then I went, no. And he went, yeah, and you give me my money back. I said, this is not Eaton's, okay? That's not how it works.
No.
I mean, I like to think that I have them. We take care of people and we do them right, but there's no big sign that says money back guarantee. You know?
Right, exactly. The
customer's always right.
So, well, sometimes.
Carlos, I want to thank you very much for doing a great job. Are you taking a run this week? Is there another marathon happening shortly?
No. He's just going to enjoy the lovely weather like we are, Al.
That sounds great. And you're going to put the top down and...
Well, if I had a convertible, I would. But, I'll put the windows down at least.
Now, as much as you love this Honda, apparently if I like your report on it, I can't go buy one anyways.
No, exactly. They're sold out for 3 years, and there are none on the used car market in Canada.
Wow. And that Toyota with the Type R? Is
it? The GR Corolla? Mm-hmm. Which I've driven a bunch of times. Same sort of situation. You can't buy them. They're all sold out. And if you do want to buy one, you can find them on the used car market for $30,000 over list.
Wow. You know what? I'd go and buy a Mach-E. They got them.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, for an EV, it's a decent car.
Mm-hmm. I drove that one. I couldn't believe the speed.
Yeah, they're all pretty quick. But you know, the EV business is changing, and we'll see how this goes over the next couple of years. But it seems like consumers still like their internal combustion engine cars.
Yeah, I mean, temperatures are going up. I'm surprised that we haven't had a brownout recently, and how we're going to support. We don't have the infrastructure, I'm told.
Well, that's what they say. I don't know who they are, but they say that the infrastructure isn't going to support mass EV adoption. But, we'll see. But right now, consumers are speaking, the market is speaking, and they generally don't want EVs.
I found that the other day, again, on Facebook, where everybody's anonymous, so they can say whatever they want.
Yes.
Somebody was complaining about a Tesla, and everybody else said, "Well, you're an idiot for buying one in the first place."
Precisely.
Wow.
You know, just like we have all these tips for people buying used cars, mm-hmm. there are also tips for buying new cars. And you know, as much as I love what Tesla's done as a business, not a big fan of their cars.
No, and if you're going to take the time to listen to a program like us or reach out and ask us for advice,
yes,
maybe you ought to take it.
And it's great when people take our advice. That's what we're here for,
right? It's like the talking people from Omvik. It's way easier to prevent this thing from happening than fixing it afterwards.
That's right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in. Drive safe. Have yourself a great weekend, and we'll see you next week on Dave's Corner Garage.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.